You're listening to Strong Runner Chick Radio, where our goal is to educate, empower, and connect female distance runners. If you enjoy this episode, be sure to leave a review on iTunes or any platform of your choosing, or share it with someone who might find this episode helpful. Thanks so much for listening and enjoy the show. Special shout out to today's sponsor and the sponsor of this entire Health as a Foundation to Sports series, Athlete Blood Test. They provide individualized, athlete-specific blood analysis to discover your unique nutrition, training, and recovery needs. Join the thousands of enthusiasts, elites, and pros that have already used Athlete Blood Test to help reach their goals. Testing is easy. Simply go to athletebloodtest.com, choose your panel, and schedule an appointment at a conveniently located lab core. Whether you're running your first marathon or competing to win, we're cheering for you, and we can help you get there. Use code SRC15 for 15% off your first panel. Public Health from the University of Illinois at Chicago, and has helped serve persons with HIV in rural Alabama. She does a ton in terms of, I could go on. There are so many different organizations she's been involved with, including the World AIDS Day Run Walk each December, and various other organizations, which I'm sure we'll dive more into. So she's very passionate about health equity, social determinants of health, and considering movement in community as a public health issue, which, again, as someone else with an MPH, I just have so much respect for you, Jesse, and your work, and I'm excited to have you on. So thank you.
I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you.
And I also wanted to mention, I believe we're both part of the Running with Purpose team as well. Yeah. So that's how Jesse and I originally connected. And I said that because we have over 30 people on that team, or around 30, that are doing great work. And you're one of them. So again, really excited to dive in today, and would love to hear what you've been up to, just to start. Like, it sounds like you got back from a work trip, and sort of what's been on your radar the past few months with COVID and all things considered, and kind of how that's impacted like your work or your running or anything else in life.
Yeah. So, I mean, I work in healthcare environment. So COVID definitely is something we've considered obviously really deeply. I was kind of fortunate in that our clinic never really closed. So I never really had to quarantine as far as like, or work from home. So my schedule was pretty normal, but there was a very long chunk of time where we didn't see patients in the office. We're definitely impacted. So I work in an HIV clinic. And so we definitely saw, just a difference in how we had to do things, but stuff has mostly gotten pretty back to normal, minus, you know, protections with masks and everything. The last few months it's a pretty rural hospital. So we've seen a lot of hospitalizations, which caused a lot of us to have to work shifts at the hospital. And that was kind of crazy. It's been interesting. On the Run for Women front, we've really just been, we've had applications open for our new ambassador group, which is exciting. And we've been starting preliminary planning for Women Run the Boat, which I can talk more about later.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely want to make sure we dive into that as well. I'd love to jump back a little bit too, to how you initially got started in running, and then we'll get more into your public health work as well. But how did you kind of get started with running 20 some years ago?
Yeah, so it sounds really weird to say that, but I did the math recently and I'm like, yeah, it's been that long. So I started running really young. I officially started doing cross country in middle school, cross country and track. And I think it was because I really liked one of the coaches. Like, he was a teacher that my sister and I liked. So we're like, all right, we'll do this. And I just remember really liking it. I liked the fact that, it was competitive, but it was also like, there were no cuts for the team. I liked the fact that, it was very more, running seemed to me to be a little bit more like internally motivated. Obviously you want to do well for your team, but also you're challenging yourself. And it just seemed to be a very accepting environment, which I feel like a lot of other competitive sports weren't. I remember taking to it with that, and it kind of stemmed from there, running through high school and, continuing in college to run on my own. And, I think it was really in college where I fell even more in love with running, because I just, there was no longer that competitive aspect. It was just kind of me versus myself. And I think I really liked that. So yeah, it's been a long time.
Where did you grow up?
So I'm originally from Lake Zurich, Illinois, which is outside of the Chicago suburbs. So I was really lucky because I had a lot of influence with my grandparents. My grandpa watched us. And so I think one of the values that was instilled really young was that, you know, you don't really need to pay to have fun. You can have fun where you can move in your neighborhood. You can go for walks, you can run, you can, you know, go to the tennis court. You know, there's a lot of, if you're lucky, you can find, you know, accessible ways to recreate. I think I always really appreciated that, kind of mentality.
That's great to instill early on, just to think you can find it in your backyard or in your neighborhood, like somewhere to go, something to do. Yeah. Kind of using those resources around you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, so now you're in Alabama, right? So I'm like Alabama from Illinois. I'm sure that was a transition. I'm wondering how you found your way to Alabama.
That's an interesting story. So my now husband and I met when we were both in graduate school. He's a fish biologist. So he was getting his master's at Mississippi State in Starkville, which is happened to be where my best friend was going to school. And I was getting my master's in public health in Chicago, and I had gone down to Mississippi to visit my friend. And she was also a wildlife biologist, and they were in the same department. And so we met there and continued a long distance relationship for a couple of years. And then we kind of decided, we're like, all right, well, we probably need to take it a step forward and started looking for jobs. And of course, like a week later, he calls me, he's like, hey, I got an offer in Auburn, Alabama. And it was a great opportunity for him. So that was now 6 years ago, going on 7 years ago. So we've been living here. I think we thought we'd stay here for like a year or two, and now it's been quite a while.
Auburn's a pretty place. I've been before for Alabama. Not that there's anything against Alabama, but of all of Alabama, I liked Auburn the most, I'd probably say, having visited different parts like Tuscaloosa. And it's nice. So
I definitely had, like, you know, I was a little grumpy about it. I didn't really want to live in the South. I had, being like a progressive northerner, I really had like a lot of ideas about living down here. And some of those are true, but also it's a really beautiful place with really beautiful people, and there's a lot of opportunities to engage if you look for them. So I'm really grateful that I've had this experience, and I do love the South now. I will say that. I miss the Midwest, but I like
it. Came around to it. I think there's so much value, though, I will say, having lived in different places with people that were very different from me. Like, I lived in the South for a while. There's so much value in that, and like having to have those conversations with people who are maybe see things differently versus eye to eye. And now that I'm in Colorado, I feel like a lot of people, it can be too homogenous. And so we could dive into that topic in itself, but I really want to get into how you became involved in your work, like, and passionate about public health.
I think I kind of touched on a little bit earlier. I think I've always been really, really interested in like health behavior from like kind of an early age, I guess. In high school, actually, I started working, I think when I was first day of my sophomore year, so I was like 15, I got a job at the YMCA in my hometown. As a lifeguard and swim instructor, and eventually as a wellness coach. And, working at the Y, I think, like, prior to that, again, minus like my exposure with my grandparents and, you know, taking walks and, you know, kind of engage, like exercising in your community, I really kind of looked at fitness as something that was like kind of for rich people. Like, I saw people that went to the gyms, and I didn't see. Like, I'm from a really blue collar background, and my parents, you know, work very physically demanding jobs still. And so I think I kind of assumed that, like, you know, access to like gyms and stuff was something that was reserved for people with money, you know, and time, and, you know, not who weren't working physically demanding 12-hour shifts. And then when I started working at the Y, I kind of saw, you know, this is such a cool place. Like, there's wellness opportunities for all different kinds of people, and accessibility is really a key component of it. Like, you know, they had scholarship programs for people, they had, you know, like swim lessons, you know, opportunities for kids to take swim lessons for free, and, you know, adult lessons, and you know, it just felt like a very community-minded environment. And I think I really kind of fell in love with that, you know, and developed an interest. So fast forward, I ended up going to college at University of Illinois, and I actually ended up becoming a community health major. And I don't think I really knew what I was going to do with that, but I knew, you know, kind of what I was interested in was this community idea of community health and wellness. And I always kind of turn back to the why to credit it, because I think, you know, it really kind of helped develop my interest in that. So yeah, that's where it all started, I suppose. And then just went from there.
Yeah, that's a really neat way to kind of get involved in the world of community health, and then to have that opportunity. I don't know that I saw community health when I first got into college as like a major. I know that was just kind of being developed. And so some of those programs weren't as like, now public health might be an undergrad degree, but is that what you started to go into then for school?
Yeah. So I, you know, my parents never went to college. And so when I initially went to college, I went to a different school. And I remember at that time, you know, my dad was, we were winging it. Like, I think the first time I went to that college is when my dad and I went to orientation, and I was like asking him, I was like, well, what do you think I should do? And he's like, I don't know, like sign up for classes that you're interested in, you know? And I think he kind of suggested, like, you always have been interested in health. And, you know, so I took a bunch of classes that were around like kind of community health topics. And then I think I decided I wanted to be a recreational therapist, and that pretty quickly, like, I loved the first school that I went to, but it wasn't going to be sustainable because it was out of state. And so I ended up transferring to University of Illinois, because that's where my sister was at. And it was in state and a lot cheaper. And so when I looked at the opportunities for the programs I could go into, I think the two options were community health and kinesiology to like get that, what I had wanted to do. And community health was going to graduate me in 3 years. So I was like, okay, I'll do that. And, you know, it was in line with what I liked anyways. So yeah, that was,
yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I just noticed that a little bit about kinesiology. Sometimes they're missing the mark, I think, when it comes to talking about health equity or social drive. I mean, you just don't hear about that. Maybe you do now, but when I was in school studying nutrition, I even started as a dietetics major. Like, you don't really hear about social drivers or determinants of health, like, at all.
No,
so I hope that that's changing, right? But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'd taken a kinesiology class in undergrad and like before. Yeah. I don't remember if it was at U of I or my first school, but yeah, I remember thinking that, like, okay, there's a piece that's missing here.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then when did you start to see this sort of intersect with running for you? It sounds like you noticed the connection from movement and public health, but more so like, you know, your own running journey and involvement and organizations like Run for All Women. How did that come about?
So again, I feel like my training in community health and public health, like, really, it really teaches you to kind of see things like the connection and things and how like socially determined health behaviors are, and how, you know, your access to things and, you know, your environment really shapes like how you move and kind of exist, and, you know, really influences like, you know, health outcomes. You know, your zip code is one of the number one determinants of your outcome for health. And so I think I always kind of considered like how, you know, I feel like running is, I'm trying to think about how to say this like perfectly. I don't know if there's a perfect way to say it, but, you know, the way I view running is it's a very accessible form of exercise compared to so many things. And when I say running, I, you know, include walking, jogging, cycling, you know, crawling in your, I don't know, however you move in your neighborhood, you know, it's something that in general, most people should be able to do, you know, and it's in general, like, a very accessible form of exercise with minimal equipment needed. You know, I remember specifically growing up and, you know, my parents weren't runners, but we would walk a lot, you know, as a family. And I saw that as something like, you know, again, my parents were working very physically, are still working very physically demanding jobs. And, you know, so going to the gym after work was not an option, but, you know, we could easily go for a walk or a bike ride as a family and, you know, move together and connect. And, you know, I see so many opportunities with running you know, in terms of influencing, like when you're going for a run in your neighborhood, you're not just running in your neighborhood, you're in kind of a visible position, right? I know as a runner, whenever I go anywhere, I think about like, okay, can I run here? Do I see people running here? Do I see people walking here? And there's something that there's kind of like a sense of safety that I notice when I'm in an area where I see people moving.
Yeah. You know,
I'm kind of rambling at this point.
Oh yeah. It's interesting to think about. I mean, I know that we could get critiqued for saying running is accessible because there's so much conversation around how can we make it more accessible or it's not enough. Yeah. But when I think about sports like rock climbing, I mean, even yoga, you have to sometimes go to a studio, anything where you have to, even swimming, you have to have a membership somewhere to access mm-hmm. a pool, or a bike could be really expensive, or skiing, really expensive, you know? So it's like
yeah.
all these sports, but if you think about like running just to get started or walking through your neighborhood, the accessibility mm-hmm. piece becomes almost like safety, right? Of how safe is the sport too in your area yeah. and how do you get involved? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think about that, like, you know, with running, or walking in your neighborhood, like, you know, again, people that, you know, when I see people running or moving in my neighborhood, it kind of makes me like, I'm going to want to do it anyways, because I am a runner, but it makes me want to like engage in that behavior as well. And it, you know, I think about that, how those behaviors can be kind of influenced if you live in an area where you see people moving and comfortably and freely. And of course, like not everyone has that privilege, and that something that we need major work on. You know, and I said in theory running should be accessible. We know that it's not. We know that our industry could do such a better job of, you know, making sure that it's inclusive and truly like an intersectional space.
Yeah. Definitely. Absolutely. And then I'm wondering more about your work with Run for All Women, like how you became involved specifically with them, and kind of what, for those that don't know, maybe that are listening and unfamiliar, like what their mission is, and yeah, again, how your work intersects there, how you became a part of them.
Yeah. So Run for All Women began in my dog's joining us. Run for All Women began in 2017 after a group of four women basically inspired a movement of 1,000 runners to run from Harlem to DC. And it was kind of as a response to the election that year. They ended up raising over $100,000 for reproductive rights during that time. And it just kind of came from there. After they did that initially, they began putting together an ambassador class. And so it's been 5 years now. And we are in this last 5 years, we have raised an additional almost $400,000 for different issues, different social issues, including voters' rights, environmental justice, and recently Indigenous issues, primarily through our initiative, Women Run the Vote, which takes place, I guess now it's an annual thing, in September every year. And it's just super, super cool. So I got involved in Run for Women in 2020, but I had been following them pretty much since the beginning. I think I saw, again, running's been such a huge part of my life, but I'm not much of like a race person. Like, I don't really sign up for a lot of races. Like, what motivates me to run isn't necessarily medals or races. It's more just this freedom that I feel from it, and how, you know, I really want others to hopefully want to run as well. Kind of seeing what Run for Women was doing, it really inspired me to like consider like, man, you can really use running as like something that's way bigger, and maybe, you know, bigger than yourself. And you know, I'd done fundraising with running before, but I hadn't really considered like joining forces with other women and other runners to actually inspire that change. So you know, I'd followed them for years, and then when ambassador applications opened up in 2020, I was like, you know, I was really nervous, but I was like, I'm going to apply for this. Like, I really feel like this is in line with my values and maybe something that I can contribute to. And so I applied, and yeah, it's been 2 years, and I really, really appreciate this group and this movement.
Amazing.
So yeah.
Yeah.
A part of, you know, one of the components of Run for Women is not just not just doing these like national fundraising events, but also hosting events in your own community. And that was a part of what inspired me as well. It's like, you know, we have a running club in my town and I've run with them before, but I don't really see it as a very inclusive space. You know, there's it's kind of one type of person for the most part. And I don't mean that in a totally negative way. I just don't see it as like super open. And so I really have always kind of wanted to see if I could create another space, I guess, not like competing, but, you know, just different. Yeah. So I do that with a group we call Wellness Weekend now, and that's through with Run for Women and a local community partner, and it's been super cool to see.
That's really cool. I'd love to learn a little more about that, like how you sort of got the courage to enact, like to start something, because that can be a little daunting, I think, for anyone that's trying to start something new in their community or, you know, make running more inclusive. Like, what are those first steps that you took to start the running group? And they might be super basic, but just like anything that's helped you kind of create this group and cultivate an inclusive space.
Yeah. So I think it can be really, it can definitely be really nerve-wracking to kind of put yourself out there like that and try to do something. Fortunately for me, I've been involved with community work in this area for a while through a couple different you know, I'm really involved with our community outreach and advocacy for work, for my job. So I do know a lot of people through that. And then I had been on the board, or was on the board for 2 years of our local Pride organization. So met people through that. And then, fortunately, I already kind of had a network of folks that I knew. And when I went into wanting to plan my community event, of course, after COVID settled a little bit, there was a group that I already had in mind called the Curtis House, which is a local organization headed up by Representative Jeremy Gray, who's a representative in our area, and he's actually from this town. And his organization, Curtis House, is basically, it's like an inclusive community space. They pretty much do everything. They have like community cooking classes, and they have a community garden, and, you know, they're very embedded in their community. And like, so Jeremy, I'd met a few times and I had texted him to see if he'd be interested in helping us host a monthly event where we would do a community run and yoga. And he was in. And so we're kind of taking a little break right now because of the winter, and Alabamans don't like cold. So we're taking a little bit of a break, but we'll start back up in March. But yeah, we basically meet monthly, and we do, like I said, a community run, we do yoga. We've had other community partners out there, providing snacks and actually chair massages and just whatever else, you know. It's been really neat to see it evolve. You know, I think one thing you really do have to kind of, you know, so I think looking for existing community partners in your space who are maybe already doing similar work or work that you want to do can be incredibly beneficial. Especially if they, you know, making sure you're aware of your own values and how they align. You know, the neat thing about this event is that we have definitely had other people wanting to be involved, which I wasn't not expecting it, but I also didn't expect it. So that's been pretty neat to see. And yeah, it's really, you have to also be a little bit, like, not every event's going to be well attended, and you have to kind of be okay with that. And it doesn't mean, even if you have one or two people show up, like, that could still be a successful event. You're still creating a space that wasn't there before. So, you know, I think that can be the idea of, oh, what people are going to show, can definitely be intimidating, but don't let that stop you, because, you know, again, even if you have one or two people show, that's still a movement that's there that wasn't there before. So
yeah, absolutely. And I'm right there with you. I don't know that Coloradans love winter either, because I've definitely seen, I have a group run out here and it's definitely dropped the past couple months. And it's just like reminding yourself that just because a couple people showed up doesn't mean it's a failure. And it just means you're creating, like you said, creating the space, continuing with the space. And that wasn't there before. So that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's helpful for anyone that like wants to start a movement or hoping to start more of a community. Yeah.
You know, this is, oh, sorry. You can keep going. You can, I don't know if you're gonna.
Did you have another thought?
Just a little, you know, I'm not sure I touched on this enough in talking about my connection with Run for Women or my appreciation for it, but, you know, I feel like, and there's so many things that I love about running and I love about the running community and I love about other runners, but one of the things I think about all the time, especially since, you know, becoming more involved with Run for Women, is that, you know, we as runners have a lot of qualities that like a good advocate needs, you know, we, you know, and it, I tie that into my advocacy work because, you know, so much, if you want to be a successful community advocate or whatever way that means or impactful, you really have to be resilient. You really have to be perseverant. You really have to be dedicated and you really have to know your community. And I feel like as a runner, you kind of have all those qualities already. Like it takes a dedicated person to be a runner. It takes someone who is willing to be resilient and kind of persist through difficulties. And, you know, also as runners, we tend to know our community. You might not realize it, but we do know our communities pretty dang well. You know, we know where the good sidewalks are. We know where the streets are. You know, we know, we're very aware probably of where the bathrooms are, what kind of exists in our community. So, you know, if you think about it, I feel like there are a lot of parallels, you know, where whatever it is you care about in your community, it might not be starting a running group or a you know, community that didn't exist, but, you know, putting some of your time and effort into something that matters that you believe in, you know, you have a lot of those qualities already in you if you're a runner. And again, the running community is so beautiful, but we have so much work we need to do in terms of making sure our community is more inclusive and accessible for everyone. You know, that's something, you know, I could go on about, but we should know, we should be aware of at this point.
Definitely. I think everyone, I mean, I won't speak for everyone, but I think a lot of us are, I can just say from talking to other people that want to do this work, that want to make their communities more inclusive. They're just not, maybe they're nervous. Maybe they're not sure how, maybe they've never hosted a run before or never really thought beyond their existing neighborhood or streets or wherever they go. And so I'm just kind of thinking about how we can make this like for listeners that do want to take that step forward and like get involved in a group like one Run for All Women, where they can begin. And I think sometimes just getting over that initial hurdle is like a challenge or how they can approach this. But I know that's like a complicated thing, you know, there's multi-layers and multifaceted, but yeah, that's kind of like, how do you take those initial steps or what are maybe, are there any other organizations out there that you'd recommend getting involved in, whether it's the YMCA, Girls on the Run, like anything else in that regard?
I actually have a few resources I'd really like to share if that's okay.
That'd be great.
Again, I've been involved with this kind of work for a long time in terms of public health work. A resource that I learned about in the last couple of years that has been incredibly useful to me is something called the Building Movement Project Social Change Ecosystem. And Megan, I can share the link with you if you want to include it in the notes. But the idea of the social change ecosystem, again, working in nonprofits and public health, you often think, or advocacy in general, you often think like you have to be everything to everyone. And that's just, you know, it's like a common thing, I think. And that mentality is great, especially if you're passionate, but also it can definitely lead to burnout. So the concept of this social change ecosystem is that you really can identify, you know, your plate, like your strengths and maybe what place you kind of can fit in this broader system. And so there's I think 11 different roles in this ecosystem, including, I'll just say, like weavers, experimenters, frontline responders, visionaries, builders, et cetera. And so they have these remarkable tools on the website where you can kind of help identify what you are. And, you know, the beauty of this system is that it's, you know, it really can help you figure out like your strengths and where you can really contribute. And, you know, the idea is too, is you're not always going to live and run one role. You know, my role at my office job is different. You know, et cetera. And so, you know, it just kind of can help. If you're looking to get involved, this can really, it can really be a great tool to kind of maybe give you a start, I guess, of how maybe you're going to be able to contribute. Another thing I wanted to plug, you know, if we talked about running being a public health issue. And, you know, part of that is the idea that, you know, built environment really influences how you're able to move. And I think as runners, again, we all know, like, you know, some of the difficulties we might face in our area. And if that's something you're interested in, you know, advocating maybe to your local representatives of, hey, we need an improvement in our streets. There's actually a tool called the Complete Streets. And there's this whole initiative around that. And I can share the link with you as well if you'd like.
That would be phenomenal. Thank you. Any tools and resources. And I haven't even heard of these. These are great.
Yeah. So years ago, I was involved in this, the Mid-America Center for Public Health. Mid-America Center for Public Health Leadership. And we had a lot of sessions on this for rural health departments. And so it's really neat though, because you kind of learn what to look for and how a complete street is supposed to look. And, you know, that can be, you know, and by kind of knowing what to identify, you can advocate actually to, you know, your city planners or your city, you know, to say like, you know, we need some changes in this. So I can definitely provide you with that information. You can also get your community's walkability score, you know, and that might be a good way to start as well. So you can see like, you know, what is our neighborhood score and where can we start? So yeah, those are just the two like running related things. If you're interested in maybe
that's super helpful. Thank you.
And just in general too, I think it's really important to know who your local representatives are. And so there's a website called commoncause.org. I feel like people have done an incredible job of getting more engaged in their communities, but I think it's all of our responsibility to be doing something at this point. You know, we all are aware that the midterm elections are coming up this year, and you know, it's not enough just to vote anymore. Like, you really do, or I don't want to tell anyone what to do, but you know, it really is beneficial to use whatever skills you might have to become engaged in some way. And you know, knowing who your representatives are, knowing who's coming in, and having an idea, you know, initial fire to maybe get involved in whatever way you can, you know, is important. You know, that could be as little as writing a couple of postcards or, you know, joining a text bank or, but again, we have a lot of these skills already. So
put them to use. I love that. Yeah. That's really great. And I absolutely love just jumping back to your resource there about finding our strengths, right? Because if we're trying to do it all or we're not sure where our strengths lie, I think that resource will be really helpful for uncovering where you, you know, can contribute most and how to get started. So thank you.
Yeah. And like, when we think about advocacy, like in general, like, especially if you're keeping it local, like, we're experts on our own communities, right? Like you know a lot more than you think. And so when you talk to, you know, people in power in your area or your representatives, like I think it can be really intimidating, but your story matters and, you know, your perspective matters. And as someone who's taking it back to running, but as someone who's running around your town and, you know, really knowledgeable of what's there and, you know, what your community looks like your perspective is incredibly important. So don't ever feel like, you know, you're not worth, your time's not worth, you know, your perspective isn't valuable, because it absolutely is.
Yes, I think that's really worth noting. Thank you for calling that out. I wanted to ask you as well, we didn't really dive into racing, and it's totally fine if we don't, but I know there's a lot of races that are trying to become more inclusive, trying to do more land acknowledgements. And I'm just wondering if there's any, I've even seen like non-binary divisions now, any other work that you think is happening, and some as well, even with women versus men, kind of the percentages of different genders and races and making that equitable, but anything you're talking about, I guess, at Running for All Women around some of this, or maybe it's outside of Running for All Women.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate the work that the Running Industry Diversity Coalition is doing right now. Allison Desir, our founder for Run for All Women, is heavily involved with that. And I'm very excited. I feel like they are doing such a great job of moving that work, the work forward and calling out the running industry and encouraging them to be more inclusive and, you know, not just checking this DEI box that, you know, I think a lot of places it's kind of been the practice, right? Of like, oh, we have a D, you know? So I think you know, Running Industry Diversity Coalition, you know, they're doing a great job of advertising jobs in the running industry, encouraging people of color and Black folks to, et cetera, to apply. You know, they're actually critically looking at like the people who sit in the heads of leadership, and they're challenging that and they're encouraging an expansion of that. So that to me is incredibly exciting and needed. And, you know, it really has an opportunity to reach high levels of our industry. It really also, I'm going to butcher some of this, but the Outdoor Oath recently launched, and they are doing an incredible work, encouraging runners and people in the movement community, in movement communities, to look at how they're engaging with their environments and take an oath to, you know, help protect our environment to the best that we can. And, you know, they recently had some of their first trainings, and it was really, I attended most of one of them. My internet cut out. Broadband in the South isn't great. but yeah, they're doing incredibly exciting work. I'm really grateful for them. And yeah, I feel like I feel like the running space for so many years has been about what races were doing, about medals, about, you know, traveling and expensive equipment, which of course, you know, and that's fine. Like I don't really have anything wrong with any of that. But I really appreciate that. I feel like there's this whole movement to look beyond, you know, racing really, like, you know, we're looking at the whole picture and, you know, who's showing up at these races, who's like able to access these spaces, who's, you know, are people feeling comfortable in these spaces? Like, mm-hmm. Again, like I viewed coming from, you know, I'm a white woman, but coming from like a more middle-class blue collar background, like, you know, I saw exercise as something that you have to be kind of really privileged to be able to do. And, you know, there's still an element of that, but I would love to look forward and see a world where people, you know, you don't have to really be privileged to engage in physical activity, like, you know, you know, it's just something that more people feel welcome and feel like, you know, I don't have to, you know, 5Ks are the standard, right? Like most people run 5Ks and that's, you know, for a lot of people, and that's a gateway for a lot of people, but, you know, not everyone's going to be able to run a 5K, but you're still a runner if you run a mile, you know.
Absolutely.
Maybe yeah. That's your goal.
Yeah, definitely. You're good.
I would love to, I'm excited to see, you know, how our industry keeps progressing in, you know, making sure that everyone feels welcome and safe and, you know, like we are actually contributing to something a little bit bigger than previously. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks for sharing. I think that's really important, like an important message and considerations mm-hmm. to think about how we can create impact through running and change. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wanted to ask just about, we have a couple more questions left, but one, like, sure. Yeah, what's lighting you up these days? Anything in life that you're, that's bringing you joy? Maybe it's your dog, like simple. This is just kind of one of our favorite questions. What's bringing you joy right now?
Oh, that's a great question. I feel like, you know, everything's been so tricky the last couple of years. And I feel, you know, it's been really, you know, there's been a lot of hard moments. I am kind of happy with the fact that I've been able to kind of focus on what I can control and do what I need to do. But recently kind of looking towards the future of what we're going to be achieving this year with Run for Women is getting me really excited. We've started planning for Women Run the Vote this year, and then to say I'm excited about it is kind of an understatement. So that kind of, like I said, yeah. Yeah, that's it, I guess.
I think that's awesome. Yeah, when you're passionate about the work you're doing, it's like there's no guilt in saying that you're excited about work, you know, or yeah. Work that you're involved in, whatever that might be. Yeah.
I'm fortunate, definitely, because I love my day job and I'm really passionate about working in HIV. And I really like what I do, but it's kind of like a whole nother level when you feel like you can, and that's become a huge passion, but it's been my involvement with Run for Women and being able to combine my passion for, you know, advocacy and running and public health, like that has really, I don't take that for granted at all. Like, I'm so grateful to be able to actually have that as a vehicle to join those things together. So yeah, that's not the joyfulness I do feel from being able to be involved with that isn't lost on me at all.
I love it. Yay. Last question I have for you is, what does being a strong runner chick mean to you?
I like that question. So my friends all know me because I love this quote, but one of my favorite quotes in the world is make your interactions with people transformational, not just transactional. And it's a Patti Smith quote. She's my queen. But, you know, I relate that to being a strong runner chick because, you know, when I think of someone who's strong, it's someone who has integrity and, you know, lives true to their values and, you know, stands up for what they believe in and, you know, isn't exclusive, is, you know, someone who's inclusive. And, you know, I don't really view life as a competition. I want everyone to thrive. And so when I think of, you know, a strong runner chick, I feel like that's someone who embodies a lot of that. Like, you know, they want to see more at the table, not less. And they think about things in a broader way. And they realize that they have an impact in the world, and everything you do has like the opportunity to create some type of impact. And, you know, it's not necessarily about what, I'll add that with Run for Women, you know, and I've been all over the place today. You're a patient person. but one of the things I love about, you know, Run for Women and maybe a little bit contrast to other ambassadorships is we really are about that transformation, not necessarily transaction. Like, you know, it's not really about free products or discounts, which is completely fine too. I'm not saying it's not, but you know, when we engage and we think about what we're doing, like we really want it to be a transformational experience, not for not only for us, but hopefully for those around us. So, yeah. That's what it means. That's
good work. And I love it. Thank you so much for sharing with me today and with our community. I really appreciate it. And I think this is just an amazing way for people to kind of kickstart if they haven't already, if you haven't been getting involved or you've been wanting to create change in your community. This is really the way to do it. You know, is just getting started there with some of the suggestions you provided today and ways that we can support Run for All Women. I just wanted to ask too, what is the best way, one, for listeners to connect with you and also to get involved if they want to be in on the Women Run the Vote? When that comes about.
Certainly. So I'm on Instagram. I think of my Instagram is public. It's Jessie Schuiso. I'll link it. I've got a long last name. And my Instagram is not super exciting, but I would love to connect there, of course. You can also follow Run for All Women on Instagram and Facebook. And there we will be posting updates with women run the vote as we get closer. By the time this airs, our applications will be closed, but we do have ambassador applications annually. If you didn't get in this year, we can definitely apply next year. We also have, you know, Wyzelle is a huge partner for us, and the Wyzelle Valet has been incredibly, they've gotten incredibly involved with Women Run the Vote. So if that's something you're interested in, the Valet does have an incredible community of women across the country that you can get involved with. And then, yeah, I would say, honestly, just follow us. And if you have, you know, if you want to get involved, like, we will try to help make that happen, I guess. But yeah, keep your eyes peeled for Women Run the Vote. Again, like I said, it'll take place in September. And there's a huge virtual component that you can create, like do with teams. And we really try to be intentional with our routes and with making sure we're sharing the stories of people who are along the route and the history. It's going to be announced eventually, I guess, where it's going to be this year, but it is going to be really exciting. So yeah, we love for people to become involved, and we love seeing all the teams and all the people from across the country learning and engaging with each other. So if you're interested in that, this event is for you.
Thank you for putting that in there. And I know we're all going to look forward to that come September, or look out in August, maybe for some of those first signs that it's happening. So It's good to know that you have fun plans in store for this year, and all the work that you're doing is, it just sounds so rewarding. And I appreciate you again for coming on the show. So thanks, Jesse.
Again, I really appreciate you having me. Thank you so much, Meg.
Thank you. All right. Bye, Strong Runner Chicks. Enjoy the rest of your days, and we'll tune in next time.
Thanks for listening to the Strong Runner Chicks Radio. Do us a favor and leave a review in iTunes to help spread awareness and foster the SRC community. Additionally, make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Strong Run Chicks.